Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, your host, and Tim Rogers has again joined me, and hopefully you've got your cup of coffee ready to go, Tim.
I do, thanks.
All right. Well, you know, last time, in our last episode, we talked about incoming inspection, and I think the appropriate word is our loathing of that process.
Yes, I agree.
And, I mean, one thought, and you, one of the quotes you, to quote you on it was, there's a lot of tough talk about moving it back to the supplier, yet that's not the whole picture because they're just going to charge us for it and it may not actually solve the problem. So let's expand that out a little bit. What, I mean, we want more than just a product, a box full of widgets
right.
from our suppliers.
You're paying for a service as well. I mean, there is a service component to what you get from your supplier. And I don't mean servicing the goods that you receive from them. I mean, they are providing more than just hardware.
Right. You know? I mean, one of the obvious that comes to my mind is that they ship on time. They ship
yes.
accurately. Orders are processed correctly. The charges are appropriate. I mean, all of those factors are in it. But back to the reliability and quality of the product, it's also they have knowledge. That
yes.
we can tap into.
You know, this is a trap that a lot of people fall into. They negotiate for the lowest cost. You know, they pit their suppliers against each other, or they're constantly pursuing lower cost suppliers. And what they're thinking about is the piece cost, the cost per unit.
Right.
But what they're overlooking is what they're kind of forgetting here is that there are other things that we expect from our suppliers, not just to provide these parts or this hardware. And if you squeeze your suppliers on cost, if you keep looking for the lowest cost per unit, don't be surprised if you're not going to get a lot of help when it comes to quality and reliability issues. You know, you've already negotiated such a low price for the part that there's just not going to be much incentive for the supplier to participate in failure analysis, to participate in troubleshooting, to take more than the minimum responsibility when it comes to quality.
Well, I've seen this just even recently is working with a component manufacturer on behalf of a client, and we got them on the phone and got their technical folks on the phone. And it was one engineer and a couple of technicians, but they just didn't. And the engineer was covering hundreds of product lines.
Exactly.
They just couldn't. He says, you know, I haven't been on that line in 2 years. I don't know how it's running. And the techs didn't understand what I was talking about.
Right.
It well enough to answer it, where the variability was coming from.
So they're spread thin to begin with, but where are they going to focus more of their time and attention? They're going to focus their time and attention on their customers that they consider to have more value, whether it's long-term strategic value or whether it's a customer that's actually, you know, paying a little more, you know,
right.
that hasn't been squeezing them on cost. So I guess my point is you can consider yourself a winner if you were able to negotiate a low cost for this component, but you're not going to get much else from this supplier. And it may be worth it to you to leave a little bit of money on the table in order to get a higher level of service from the supplier.
Well, this extends beyond just when I have a failure. It's when am I picking the right component? Well,
right.
they need to invest in understanding our application.
Absolutely.
Right?
And why are they going to do that if you've already, you know, if they're not making any money?
Right.
If it may, in fact, be at cost, you know, for your component.
Right. Or three phone calls wipes out their profit for it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So now I know there are people that feel like they can fall back on the terms and conditions of their purchase contract. So if there's a quality reliability problem, we'll just punish them. We'll enforce the warranty or the damages part of the contract.
Doesn't help you ship products though.
No, it doesn't. That's my point. Those terms and conditions that are part of the purchase contract. They may be a way of recovering some of your cost, but it's not, as you said, Fred, it's not going to help you with the lousy product that you've already shipped.
Right. Or it's not going to help you ship good products going forward. If you
right.
have to restart, and sometimes in some cases, that means you have to redesign. You especially
good
if
point.
You've designed into a particular component and then you beat up your supplier. And they say, enough of this. We're not shipping to you anymore. And now you're out of business because you can't ship.
Right. So now you have to redesign for a different supplier, or you've got to go through the time and effort to identify and qualify another supplier.
Right.
So it's, you have to look at cost in a larger context. It's not just on a per part basis, but you were talking before about on-time delivery. There are other things that have value to you as the customer that you might be willing to spend more money in order to get. And the supplier, conversely, is going to be less likely to help you out if they're already making no money off of you.
Well, when we talked about it in one of our prior discussions, Tim, was it's not just pay more for it. Because I know as a reliability or a quality engineer, going to procurement to say, hey, we need to pay them more, usually gets that response.
Yeah.
Right? But if we talked about it a little bit in the last episode, if instead of just pushing incoming inspection back to the supplier, we help them understand and minimize the variability in their process that's leading to scrap and yield loss on their side and bad product coming to us.
Yeah.
We both win. We
Absolutely.
Give them some knowledge and help them implement it and coax them into doing it and teach them how to do it. But they can't be so lean and so beaten over the head by our procurement group that they can't afford to have anybody even answer the phone for us to learn how to do SPC.
I agree. Now, I do want to make sure, maybe I'm, again, describing an ideal world here that doesn't always exist, but I do believe that our purchasing and procurement folks need to be measured on total cost.
Mm-hmm.
So they do need to be held accountable for the cost that is incurred after we receive components.
Oh, we did that. It was night and day difference.
Yeah.
At HP is we got the exec. I don't know if you were still at HP when we got this through. It was the bonus structure for all parts of the product development chain. So procurement was the biggest hit. Was it included warranty costs?
There you go.
In the formula for whether or not they made profitability or not.
And I think that's what's required.
Yeah. And the phone started ringing off the hook. And it was primarily the supply chain folks saying, how do we calculate this? How do we know what the impact is? How do we convert this failure rate to something useful?
You can go even further upstream and talk to the designers. Mm-hmm. Are the designers being measured on the decisions that they're making that lead to both sourceability and reliability?
Mm-hmm.
Are they designing in such a way that there's only one supplier in the world that can satisfy that requirement? Or are they designing in a way that allows the purchasing organization to have access to a multitude of different suppliers?
Well, and that's, my maxim is it's always the designer's fault. But and I've seen recently this client was making in some really customized mechanical parts. They were EDM, which I don't remember what that stands for. It was a very precise way of cutting this particular exotic metal and getting particular dimensions of it. And the engineering team, the design team, spent a significant amount of time with the manufacturer in modifying their equipment and getting the best possible precision out of this particular component. And they sent, I don't know, 20 or 30 of these first articles, basically. And it was pretty bad. It was all over the map on the specifications. They just were not capable of making the parts to spec.
Nah.
So they were complaining that the supplier wasn't trying. And I said, this is not technically possible, guys. You spent time inventing things to help their machine even get close. And you're saying they're the best in the world at it. And you still aren't getting good parts. Well, let's look at the design again.
Yeah.
Are you really trying to do here?
What are you trying to accomplish? And have you designed yourself into a corner?
Right.
And I think you're thinking of electrical discharge machining. Was that the EDM you were thinking of?
I think so. Yeah. But it goes back to that relationship piece that we've talked about prior, is that they can only produce what they're capable of producing.
Right.
And we can't wish they would create better products.
Right.
If they're not able to. So it's...
If you're outside their sweet spot, you shouldn't be surprised if you have some quality problems.
That's right. We can't cost reduce them into good products.
Yeah.
So it's education. It's, I think we talked about it before, is forecasting and stability and doing equal shipments, regular shipments rather than random batch shipments. But also, I've gotten involved with the knowledge part, where it's simply by asking the right questions and qualifying only what's absolutely necessary. I don't need 300 random tests from some specification.
Right.
I need what's important for my product.
What are the functionally critical dimensions or the critical performance parameters, whatever you want to call it?
That's right.
And that's what we should be focusing on, not, like you said, a bunch of measurements that don't really have a significant impact to the final performance of the product.
That's right. But it goes back to this idea of total cost. Now, expand that a little bit, because it's obviously more than just purchase price, and it's not just the warranty or the troubleshooting costs type thing.
Yeah, it's basically any time that you spend, any time that is spent on your side as a result of supplier performance. If the supplier is performing well, then you can reduce the amount of labor, that's required on your side. It includes testing and inspection, but it includes a lot of other things too. Again, it can't just be a matter of shifting that burden back to the supplier. It's about designing systems, whether they're quality systems or shipping, inventory management, all of these designing systems that just don't require that kind of handholding and that kind of constant monitoring.
Right.
So. We've talked many times about the importance of collaboration and partnership. If you think you're winning because you don't have to do this job anymore, the supplier is going to do it for you. Well, you're just going to end up paying more overall. So you're not coming out ahead. You've got to design more robust systems that can reliably provide the kind of performance you need.
That's right.
That's how you really avoid the cost. This isn't about shifting the cost from one party to another. It's about reducing the cost in the entire system. So,
and that's where it gets. That's where that relationship piece really comes in. Because what's the phrase? Open kimono.
Yeah. Right. kind of idea, right.
Which for some of the people I've met, it's probably not the right. Visual.
right. But I remember that. We used to talk about that at HP all the time.
But it was, here's what we're using it for. It's the technical, it's not, we're just taking your product. We're not going to tell you how we're using it.
Right.
Be open about that, but also open about what's the consequence if it fails. What's
exactly
the profit if it works? What's
that's
benefit?
The key. You don't have to explain to your supplier how your product works, but they should at least understand how that part fits into the larger system.
Right.
Why
do you care? This is critical because it fits the timing on this piece, and it's critical to a telecommunication application.
I believe the more they know about how that part is going to be used, the service environment that it's going to be in, the better they understand that, the more likely they are to meet your requirements.
Yeah, I just thought of another episode. How do you know your supplier's the expert?
Well, that's a great question. We should talk more about that. But I want to be careful. This is not going to apply to every supplier and every part. Okay. Right. If you're buying a part out of, I think we talked about this before, Fred. Mm-hmm. If you're buying a part out of a catalog, you know, it's pretty unlikely that your supplier is going to care a whole lot about your environment. You know, if you're buying a standard resistor or capacitor or something like that, you know, it's, but if particularly if this is a custom designed part, whether it's mechanical or electrical, then you really need to have this kind of dialogue with the supplier.
Well, that reminds me, back to our HP days, we used to have a framework that would talk about how do you score a supplier. And we used it in selection and then in monitoring.
Yes.
Yeah, the TQRDC.
That's right.
Right, and E was TQRDC. Added when environment became in vogue.
And there were some people that added a B for business because we were looking for suppliers that had stability, and that you know they had a business that was financially stable that we could work with over time. Some people are starting to also ask questions about sustainability. So does the supplier support our goals? Your corporate goals around sustainability.
That's right.
Environmental protections and labor standards and so on and so forth. So
that's right.
There are other letters that are being added to the acronym. But in the old days, it was TQRDC.
That's right. Maybe Alphabet, the new Google parent company, has got it right. Just
there you go.
Everything to everybody, the alphabet.
That'd be a great topic to talk some more about later, Fred, because the Q in TQRDC is quality. But, you know, a lot of times we have to trade quality off against other things.
Yeah.
What is good enough quality? Boy, there's a big topic right there.
Well, we might have a whole series on that kind of stuff. So, well, let's wrap it up with that. This idea, I'm certain we're going to come back to it over and over again. So let us know if the topic of building a relationship with your supplier and the techniques and motivations for doing that makes sense, or if you've got questions in that area. So leave us a comment on the reliability.fm. List the different podcasts that are in the network. You can find the Speaking of Reliability episode and leave us a note there. Or on iTunes or on Stitcher, that both of them have review and comment sections. Or track us down. We're not hard to find. Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. So with that, Tim, I appreciate it. I think it's time to refill our coffee and get on with the rest of our day. But we're looking forward to sitting down again. I think we came up with like two or three more episodes. So shouldn't be a problem.
Looking forward to it. I look forward to talking with you again, Fred.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.